Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs, chapter 26. We'll read verses 7 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 26, verses 7 through 12. Proverbs 26, verses 7 through 12. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. I'll read yet one other verse to you. You need not turn there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, I believe this week you smiled upon us. I believe the hundreds of folks that were saved and the hundreds and yea thousands of lives that were touched. I believe this is what you had in mind for a church. And thank you for our preacher. Father, please fill him with your power tonight as he preaches. Somehow could we get the truth that he has for us from you. Lord, please also as he preaches, give him a blessing as our people and as we try to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'll read two verses to you. And these verses will lead us down the path or the journey that we'll take in regard to the sermon. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 11, the Bible says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his seat. That's not really what the scripture says. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 22, the Bible says, but it is happened unto them according to the true Proverbs. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. When I was a boy, we rode our bicycles all over the place. My hometown was a small town, and it was a very safe place. We'd ride in the alleyways, we'd ride on the sidewalks and out through the country. About a baseball's throw away was the stockyards from my house, and they'd bring hogs in and keep them in their pens. And if we really felt adventurous, we'd ride our bikes out past the stockyards and down a country road. Me and my brother, we went to riding one day and took a long, long ride. And as we were coming back, we picked up a tag along. It was a mutt, a black and white puppy. And she followed us all the way home, and we were not against it. We got home, and we started begging Mom, can we keep her, can we keep her, can we keep her? And Mom said, oh, boys, I don't know if you're ready for a dog yet. And we went through the same thing as usual. Mom, we'll take good care of her. Oh, Mom, and Mom brought up, the thing about us not taking care of our room already and all that sort of lying thing that parents do to you. They lie about you not taking care of your room. And I mean, every boy and girl takes care of their bedroom. Teenagers, you ought to be saying amen right there. I'm trying to help you. But Mom, we got into this conversation about it. And finally, Mom gave in. But there was a contractual agreement. You know how parents are. Okay, I'll let you keep her, but you got to do the following six things and sign a piece of paper that you'll do them. Hey, we picked a unique name for her. Picture this. We called her Spot. A lot of creativity went into that. But here was the deal. Mom said, okay, you can keep her. But here's the deal. You have to feed her. You have to brush her. You have to bathe her. You have to clean up after. Oh, Mom, that's great. We'll do it. No problem. Now, Spot was the very first dog I was ever personally responsible for. Now, we had a dog before Spot, but it was my mom's dog, and she got it from my grandpa. His name was Ambitious. And boy, was Ambitious. I learned that the day I tried to eat out of the same bowl with Ambitious, and Ambitious bit me. Almost as dumb, my son Jeff did the same thing with our dog Pupcake. He got bit, too. That's why he's so ugly in the face. But we did have Ambitious, but Ambitious was not our dog. Now, or it actually wasn't my dog, but Spot, you see, I was to be responsible for Spot. Well, this one day, Spot ate a whole stick of butter. You say, why? Well, she seemed to like it. I mean, the first bite she liked, and I thought, well, she likes a little, she'll love a lot. So I aided Spot in eating this stick of butter. And she liked it at first. But you know, after her tummy figured out what her mouth and tongue had done to her, her tummy voiced its opposition to this stick of butter. You could hear her belly rumbling. It was making noises as if she was demon-possessed. I knew she was going to blow. I knew it. I knew you could just tell what was going on inside her, and what was in there wasn't staying down. And she barfed that butter up like the whale barfed up Jonah. And in more than one spot on the carpeting, she chose to leave her decoration. She regurgitated butter and more all over the place. Living room floor. I ran to my mom's sewing room because I knew this was an urgent, catastrophic event, and I need to get my mother's help. Now, we use different terms for this thing called regurgitating. We call it tossing the cookies, upchucking, throwing up, in this case, barfing the butter, spewing all over the place. The Bible uses the term vomit. Now, after Spot vomited, I ran to my mom and I said, Mom, Spot's just blowing butter everywhere. And of course, my mom had this question, well, where did she get the butter? Well, my brother gave it to her. Well, I said, Mom, I gave it to her. Well, how much did she eat? Mom's asked. See, they're so inquisitive. I said, well, she ate a whole stick. Why would you give her a whole stick of butter? Because she liked it. And then Mom told me something that I already knew, son. You should never give a dog a whole stick of butter. And I'm thinking, you're a genius, Mom. Come with me, Mom. I can show you why. Then she really pulled rank on me. She pulled out that verbal contractual agreement. Son, that's your dog. Son, you said you'd feed her. And I'm thinking, well, I did. You're going to bathe her. You're going to brush her. And you are going to clean up after her. She said, now you go in there and clean up after your dog. Oh, I'm thinking, that's not right. Child abuse. I'm going to call the Department of Health and Human Welfare, you know, that DHHR. I'm going to tell them I'm being abused. Well, I went back into the living room so I could clean up Spot's vomit. But God had worked a miracle. God had intervened on my behalf. It was gone. Every pile, gone. Invisible. Maybe the vomit thief had come and stolen it to add to his coffer of riches. But I'm telling you, it was all gone. Now, I'd never experienced anything of this nature before. So I said, Mom! She come running downstairs. She said, what's wrong? I said, it's gone. She said, what's gone? I said, the puke. It's gone. I said, where'd it go? She said, son, you're not going to believe this. Spot's over there laying by the couch, licking her lips. She said, son, Spot ate it. I said, she did not. I said, she didn't eat that. And my mom said, no, son, your dog ate it. I said, why? Don't she realize it made her sick the first time? She said, son, that's just dogs are known for that. And that's exactly what God said here in these two passages of Scripture that we shared. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. It says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. What the Bible's saying is there are times when we as Christians, we return to the vomit of our past. You see, we had some things in our lives, and God helped us to clean those things up out of our lives and to straighten up our life. We get right with God, but if we're not careful, somehow we slide back into it and we return to the vomit of our past. When you go backwards, God compares it to the dog that went back to his own vomit and ate it. You say, that's disgusting. I know, but one thing you need to remember about this book, I didn't write it. I just preach it. God's the one that said there are people that return to their vomit like a dog returneth to his vomit. It doesn't say he just returns to it. We know what that means. The dog eats it. Starts taking it back inside himself. And it has the potential of making him sick all over again. I want to warn you about some things. I want you to be careful that you don't return to the vomit of the life that God had brought you out of as a Christian. Now, for some of you, you never left the vomit. Some of you are still living with the vomit in your life. But there are some, you had fixed it and you had gotten right with God and you had changed some things, but now you're going back. You've returned to some of those things that God had saved you from and helped you to overcome. You say, like what? Well, number one, don't return to the friendship vomit of the world. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Hey, we're not to have friends of the world. We're to change our friendships when we get saved. Meaning we're not to have friends that hey, I think you ought to be kind and I think you ought to be gentle and I think you ought to be friendly toward the lost people in the world, but your best friends ought not be lost people. Your best friends ought not be worldly saved people. You should separate from wrong friendships in your life. And the Bible teaches that. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing. I have watched it happen here in our church. Many of you have been saved or gotten right with God, and when you did, you started changing your friendships. You started doing away with the wrong kinds of friendships. You separated from your old friends. You made some excellent strides about separating from the wrong crowd and the old wicked crowd. You separated from those old friends at work. You stopped going to lunch with them. You stopped sitting with them and listening to their filthy jokes. You separated from some of those old friends at the secular college or in the public school. You separated from some wicked family members. And I think you ought to be friendly to your family and love them. And they're always your family. But some of you just spend way too much time with the wrong kind of family members and they were running you in the ground. But you know what you did? You learned how to appropriately separate. You separated from the wrong boyfriend. You separated from the wrong girlfriend. You separated from wicked neighbors. You separated from wicked influences. Hey, some of you young people, you separated from the backslidden teenagers in the youth department. Oh, be kind? Absolutely. Love them? Oh, yes. Be friendly? Yes. Be best friends? No. And you separated, and God bless you for doing so. But God says there are some who return to their own vomit, like the dog returneth to his vomit. Are you returning to your friendship vomit? Picked you up another boyfriend now. He too is uninterested in God. He too won't come to church. He too won't read his Bible. He too. Well, wait a minute. I thought you separated from that. I thought you realized that wasn't a good idea. Where are you going? You got your new girlfriend. She's not right with God. Uninterested in the things of God. Are you back to running with the wicked crowd at work? Let me tell you what God compares it to. God said, I saved you from it. I taught you what was right and wrong. You pulled away from it. You cleaned yourself up. Now you're going back. And God said, the best way for me to get it across to you is, you're like the dog that returneth to its vomit. Why are you going back there? Where are you going? What in the world are you doing? So please, my friend, be careful now. That neighbor who at one time was no good for you, now you're back to running around with him, talking to him on the phone. Back to doing what you had changed because you knew you needed a change. You've gone back. Hey, you're spending all that time with that gossiping church member again. At one point you realize she's negative. She's negative. She's against what goes on around here. And you said, I've got to pull away. But you know what? You're going back. You're back to eating the vomit again. The vomit of wrong friendships. Secondly, don't return to your financial vomit. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Listen, many of you made some excellent advancements with your finances. Excellent advances. Boy, you started paying your bills on time. You started paying off your bills. You started tithing and gaining God's financial blessing. You started getting out of debt. Let me ask you a question. Are you returning to your vomit? Are you returning to your vomit? Hey, a woman finds a genie's lamp. The genie comes out and says, you may have 3 wishes, but your husband will get 10 times more than what you wish for. The woman agrees. Her first wish to the genie was this. She said, I would like to be the most beautiful woman in the entire world. You realize, the genie says, that your husband will be 10 times more attractive than you, and the women may gawk at him. She said, that's okay. He's only going to look at me, though, because I will be the most beautiful woman in the world. And so the genie grants her wish. Her second wish is this. She said, I would like to be the richest woman in the world. You know your husband will be 10 times richer than you, right? Says the genie. She said, that's okay. What's mine is his and what's his is mine, replied the woman. So the genie says, fine, I'll give you your wish. Now she's the most beautiful. Now she's the richest woman in the world. The woman scratches her head and thinks real seriously and thinks, okay, it's time for my third wish. After a long, hard thinking process, she finally says, genie, I would like to experience a mild heart attack. Which meant the old man was going to get one 10 times worse, and now she's the most beautiful and the richest. You know, there's some of you say, Brother Owens, I wish I had a magic genie that could straighten up my finances. You're not going to have one. But you had, if you've been in this church any time at all, you've had enough training to straighten out your finances. You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about a whole bunch of people. I taught on the subject of finances for, I think, 34 Wednesday nights in a row in this church. I taught you what was wrong with your finances, how to fix your finances, how to get a budget, how to fix the overspending. I taught you all of that. And you know what I fear? I fear a whole bunch of people. You were all fired up about it, and you were fixing it up, and you were cleaning it up, and you were getting on track, but I think a whole bunch of you are going back to your vomit. I fear that for you. You're going backwards with your finances now. You're overusing your credit card again. You're paying your bills late again. Your family's totally stressed out about your finances again. Now you're working 60 hours a week. Now your wife's working 40 hours a week. And you are trying to get away from that. You're spending unwisely again. You're coveting yourself into a financial catastrophe again. You had been working on your finances so you could serve the Lord on the weekend, but you can't now. You're going back to it again. You're returning to that financial vomit. Now you're back to your old ways. You're so deep in debt, you don't know how you're going to pay for everything. You don't know if you can put your kids in the Christian school next year because you spent so much money. Now listen to me, folks. Most of our problems in regard to finances, they're not money problems, they're character problems. We just don't control ourselves. There are people, I could tell you dozens of people. Back a couple years ago, when I taught on finances for 34 weeks in a row, I had men and women coming to me right and left saying, Brother Owens, it's incredible. We're getting it straightened out. We're living by a budget. We're paying our bills. The stress is gone. I'm not having to work 60 and 70 hours a week. Oh, they were so excited. Can you come see me now? Tell me how it's still going okay. Or had you cleaned it up and got over here, but now you're back at that same old vomit. Got a mess of your finances again. And the Bible says it's just like the dog that returneth to his vomit. Hey, Don't return to your music vomit. Colossians 3:16 says, so let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Many of you had cleaned up your music. You were listening to the right kind of music. We had revival around here about music. Oh my! Hundreds of rock and roll and country and rap CDs and filthy music brought to this platform. You remember it? Remember hundreds of them. People bringing them to the altar, getting right with God. And I dumped boxes of them out and we stomped on them and we trampled them. And then we had revival about music. People getting right with God and saying, I've got to listen to the right kind of music. Teenagers and parents, I almost guarantee you, if you got a rebellious teenager, they're listening to the wrong kind of music. Because it's rebellious music. We one night, boy, we had stacks and piles of wicked, vile, bad music and posters and magazines. We went out here, now where we have the Sunday school mobile units, we had a big fire. We had what we called a burn, and we burned all those CDs, and we were having revival, and everybody was getting right with God. And you did so well! Now how are you doing? Are you back to it? When we check the radio settings on your radio in your car right now, what stations are they on? You back to watching the country music station so you can line dance with everybody and have a good old time? Honestly, where you at, teenage boy that's giving us fits? How about it, young lady? Recently, had a young lady come and tell us she's struggling with her music. We said, well, where are you getting it? Well, I listen to it with my mom, who's a prominent member of this church. How can we help them? How in the world can you help a young person overcome the wrong kind of music if mama has a position in this church and she's listening to it and condoning it? Now, mom, you're deceiving me. Because you put your child in Martinsburg Christian Academy and tell us that your child won't listen to the wrong kind of music, but you're listening to it and letting her listen to it. There's something wrong with that. That's deceptive. And you know what? Get ready, folks. There's somebody around here who's going to be really ticked off at me, and you'll probably all hear about it because I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not.
You say, well, I've been here forever.
That doesn't bother me. You should learn a long time ago. Whether you've been here for 2 weeks or been here forever, the rules are the rules, and we're going to follow them. My. Did you return to the vomit? You return to the vomit? The vomit of the wrong kind of music. The vomit of the wrong kind of friendships. The vomit of not handling our money properly. Don't return to it. Don't return to it. You know, when we were talking about Spot, and Spot barfing up all that butter and all the goodies that he'd been or she'd been eating, you said, oh, that's gross. God said, maybe I could get it across to the Christian. When I save you and I start cleaning up your life and you get away from it and further away from it and further away from it, stay away from it. But when you go back, it's just like a dog returning to its vomit. God said, maybe that'll make an impact on you. Maybe you will understand. You're not to return to that vomit. You're not to return to that stuff that was making you spiritually sick. God said, don't do that. And the dog just doesn't return to it. It eats it. Let me tell you something. It'll make you sick all over again. It'll make you sick all over again. Hey, don't return to that music vomit. Don't return to your marital vomit. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. You know, God wants you happily married. God wants peace in your home. That's what God wants. Your marriage is to be a picture of Jesus Christ, the groom, and Christians, the bride. What do people think of the relationship between Jesus and Christians as they look at your marriage? People ought to look at your marriage and they ought to be reminded of a wonderful relationship between Jesus Christ and the Christian. Hey, and many of you, you had improved your marriage considerably. Boy, we preached on the family for about 40 weeks. I preach on marriage all the time. We were trying to help your marriages. We've had couples retreats, and we worked on it, and worked on it, and worked on it, and worked on it. I taught some of you men how to protect your wife's spirit. I taught the women how to submit to their husbands, and we worked on it, and we worked on it, and we worked on it, and we preached about it, and you stopped your fussing. Stop throwing your fits. Stop the war. You started dating each other again. Started being good to each other. Started being good Christians and serving each other. And ladies began to submit to your husband and not have that attitude.
Oh, these women that go around obeying their husbands all the time.
Well, a lady's supposed to be obedient to her husband. That's what the Bible says. And you stopped fussing and not getting along. Oh, but what's happened? Have you gone back to the vomit? You have your marriage a mess again? Is your house a hellhole? Screaming, the fighting, the fussing, the violence. You returned to your vomit, didn't you? You just like Spot. You're right back at it. Your finances are a mess again, so you're fighting over that. Your physical relationship is almost nothing again because you're cold toward one another. You both have bad friends that do not contribute to the happiness of your marriage. You've redeveloped a bad attitude. See, your home is supposed to be a heaven on earth. What's yours? What's it like? And for many of you, you've made so many advancements. What's happening? Have you returned to the vomit of a bad marriage? Hey, the Bible says it this way. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. But if it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again. That sow that was washed who are wallowing in the mire. Hey, let's not go backwards. Let's not go back to what we had pulled ourselves away from. Let's not do that. Let's not go back. Don't return to the wrong kinds of friendships. Don't return to the messed up finances. Don't return to the bad music. Don't return to that marital mess that you were in. You know, young people, I watched some young people at the beginning of the school year get right with God. Remarkably. It lasted about 7 or 8 months. Now they're the youth rebels again. What are you doing? You're back eating your vomit. That's all. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to that. Number five, don't return to your phony Christianity vomit. Folks, we're supposed to be real. We're to live right 7 days a week. We're to live right 52 weeks a year. We're to live right all year long. You know what? There are a whole bunch of people. You know, we'd all like to give the impression that we're religious. But the truth is, we're supposed to be Christian. We're to be Christian. And we need to realize we're to live right at church and at home. Liberal so-called Christianity has you to go down to the church and act religious at church. And the minute you leave the property, you just go do what you want. That's phony religion. That's somebody being a front. That's somebody making mock of what real Christianity is. The world doesn't need somebody that lives right down at the church and then leaves the property and lives differently. Not at all. Not at all. Boy, I'll tell you what will make an impact on a community. It's somebody that lives right at church and at home. Somebody that lives right in the dark. You only live right when people can see you. You only do right when you're around the people that you would want to do right in front of. Do you adjust? Hey, teenager, can you get around the good kids and act like you're good, but the minute you get around the bad kids, you're bad? You're being a fake. You're being a phony. And just so you teenagers understand something, every teenager alive needs to learn to take a stand against wrong. I'll tell you what would keep those rebels in the youth department from messing things up. It's time for somebody to stand up and say, shut up. Yes. Don't ruin teenage soul winning like that. And look, when somebody stands up and says, shut up, buddy, stop talking that way. I'm going to tell you something, son. You hit anybody, we'll press charges against you. And then everybody else on the bus, this is what you do. When somebody finally stands up and says, shut up, buddy, all 70 of the rest of the people on the bus stand up and say, yeah, you stop it. This is our youth department. You're not going to act that way. Or do you have a jelly backbone? Going to spend the rest of your life running? Now, I'm not saying start a fight, but somebody's got to take a stand. Somebody's got to say, be quiet. I'll tell you, some of you adults, you sit around, you listen to gossip, it's about time for somebody to say, shut up. Be quiet. I don't want to hear it. What's wrong with us? Oh, well, what we do is we return to our vomit. We just return to our vomit. Hey, don't return to that phony Christianity. Live right while we're in the Christian school and live right when we're out of the Christian school. And if you think for a moment that you go to the Christian school and 9 months out of the year you're to live right and then you're to go home over the summer and listen to your rock and roll and you're to do whatever you want, live any way you want, there's a misconception about our Christian school. It's a Christian school that's for Christians and you're supposed to be Christians all year long. You'll give the school a bad name. You'll make people believe our Christian school is just a private school. You keep the rules 9 months out of the year and live like the devil the rest of the year. That's not what that Christian school stands for. Christians are not 9-monthers. Christians are 12-monthers. Many of you have improved, though. See? Boy, you've improved that consistency about your Christianity. You listen to good music at church, and then you go home and you listen to the same kind of music, and that's how it's supposed to be. You use good words and good speech at church, and then you were going home and you were using the proper kinds of words. You didn't say any words at home, you wouldn't say at church. You didn't listen to any music at home that you wouldn't listen to at church. You had the same kind of friendships away from the church that you were having at church, which were good, decent, wholesome Christian friends. You dressed the same at home as you dressed at church, just so you know. Nowhere in the Bible does it say there's a certain way you're to dress at church. But there are more people that say, oh, I dress right at the church. Wait, nowhere. You show me in the Bible where it says you're supposed to dress a certain way at church. If you're to dress a certain way, you're dressed a certain way 52 weeks out of the year. Everywhere. Show it to me. Show me one place in the Bible where it says there's a certain way to dress at church. There's a certain way to dress. Period. Period. And if it's right at church, it's right at home. I dare you. Get your Bible out. Come to my office and you show me. You show me where it says you're to dress a certain way at church. But there are all sorts of people who say, well, I'd never dress like that at church. Where'd you learn that? Who taught you? Where in the world did you get that? I challenge you. All 66 books. You bring it and you show me where you got that. It's not in there. Because if there is a way to dress at church, you're to dress that way at home. If there's a way to dress at home, you're to dress that way at church. Hey, but we've learned that. We've learned it. We've learned to have good behavior at church. And then to have that same good behavior at home. But if you're not careful, as you clean up your life, won't be long, the devil will get you back eating out of that old vomit. Playing church. I'll come down to the church and act like I love God, but then when I leave here, I'm going to be a living terror. Back to the one kind of music at church, another kind of home. Back to the filthy words at home, but oh, at church you'd never say that. Look, we shouldn't be saying any words in our home that we wouldn't say at church. You know, we say, Brother Owens, but this is the sanctuary of God. No, it isn't. You make too big of a deal out of this building. You want to see the sanctuary of God? You're looking at it. And quite an excellent specimen, I might add. You are the sanctuary of God. You are. Wherever you go, you're to live in the presence of the Holy God of the universe. Everywhere you go, He goes everywhere with you. God lives inside of you. Which means everywhere you go, you're to live right. somehow, though, we get taught this, it's almost a fake, phony religion that says, well, you behave one way at the church, and then when you leave here, you can do whatever you want. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. Have you returned to your vomit? Have you started to fake it again? You going back to your double standards? Going back to your double-mindedness? Are you back to putting up a front at church? Are you playing church again? Don't return to your vomit. Don't return to your vomit. And don't return to your bitterness vomit. The Bible says in Romans 3:14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know what? A lot of people get this bitterness in their life and bitterness about people and things. But then you begin to teach them and you help them. You start patching it up and fixing it up. And they begin to leave it. Now you be careful that you don't return to that bitterness. Don't return to that vomit. The Bible says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Cursing comes from a bitter heart. It says here, whose mouth is full. If your mouth is full of cursing, rude, harsh words, then it comes from a heart that is full of bitterness. I'll tell you why some of you are so hard to get along with. You're bitter. You're bitter. You've got a bitter heart. But the Bible teaches us that bitterness is sin. There's some of you, we're getting you away from that bitterness. We're getting you away from that rude, harsh, nasty attitude that you have toward people, but you're going right back to it. You had brought it under control. You had brought some of your hatefulness under control. Your desire for revenge. Your hard attitude. Your negative, critical spirit. What's happened? Are you going back? You getting back into it? Getting back into it? Getting back into it? I want some of you to think about it. Boy, you had cleaned up your attitude. You were positive. You were excited about the things of the Lord. Now you're going back. You're getting that bitterness in your life again. You're getting that harsh attitude again. God said, that's just like a dog returning to its own vomit. And to a person or two, I'm just going to warn you. It won't be long. Your life is going to be a mess. I watched people in this church in the last 5 years go from a mess in their marriage, a mess in their finances, a mess in their life. I watched them start cleaning it up and fixing it up and cleaning it up and fixing it up and success and happiness and on the right path. Now they're going right back where they came from. And I tell you this, the devil's going to take you down deeper this time than he did last time. He lost you once. He lost the influence over you once. If he gets you down again, he'll probably take you out. That'd be my guess. I can think of a lady in this church right now. I'm watching her deteriorate. I am watching her deteriorate. I'm watching her deteriorate in attitude. I'm watching her deteriorate with her friends. Her attitude toward me. Her attitude toward her church. Her attitude toward the staff. Her attitude toward the preaching. I'm watching it. I'm watching it deteriorate. It'll ruin you. It'll destroy you. What are you doing? Returning to your vomit. Think about it. Is it true for a little while you said, boy, this is great. Wow, look at this. Look at everything happening around here. Oh, we're getting right with God and we're going to get everything straightened out. Wow, amen, glory to God. Now you got that edge on you again, don't you? You're bitter. Well, what'd you do? This is what you did. You had a life where you'd go on. Life was all goofed up, messed up. You barfed. Somebody tried to help you. Clean you up. The Holy Spirit was cleaning you up. The preaching of the Word of God was cleaning you up. And then I turned and I looked and there you were. Right back over there at it, eating it. I'm going back. I'm returning to the vomit from which God had salvaged me. Now come to your senses. There are men in this room. You need to shake yourself this evening and say, you know what? I am in the same financial predicament I was in a few years ago and I just straightened that out. You need to fix that. There are some of you, you would say, Brother Owens, I'm going backwards. I'm going backwards. Just wake up. I'm not mad at you, by the way. I'm trying to warn you. Say, what's the warning? Don't eat your vomit. Don't eat it. Don't go back to it. I couldn't believe it. When we got back into the living room where Spotted barfed her butter and it was gone, I thought, what is wrong? I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that a dog would go back and eat it. My mom almost didn't want to tell me. She knew it was going to be quite disgusting to me. I remember telling my dad that night. Dad, I said, Dad, you're not going to believe what Spot did today. Dad, Spot had barked everywhere, and I went to get Mom, and when I came back, he said, I know, son, that's enough. I was telling all my friends. I was really close to my grandpa. I called my grandpa. I said, Grandpa, you're not going to believe what Spot did today. He thought, you know, I'd taught Spot to roll over or do some trick. I said, Grandpa, Spot barked, and you know what Spot did with the bark? My grandpa said, I know, son. I know. It was new to me. I couldn't believe it. You know something? What a great illustration God gave us. How could we ever forget it? Check your life, ma'am. Check your life. Check your life. Just make sure you're not going backwards. Check up on yourself, sir. Check up on yourself, teenager. Think about it. Hey, teenager, you got right with God. Got all fired up for God. New attitude, new music. Gonna do right. Now where you at? You know where you're at? Butter barf. See, that's gross. That's how God sees what you're doing with your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved and you're here this evening, we welcome you to the Savior. If you are saved and somehow things have gotten out of hand in your life, and there's some of you, you ought to see yourself. Boy, you get away from wrong, then you turn around and go right back to it. Then you get right with God, then you turn around and go right back to it. Then you get right with God, then you turn around and go right back to it. Why don't some of you lock in and just decide, I'm not going back to the bar. I'm not going back to it anymore. We're going to have an altar call. If God's spoken to your heart, you might want to use the altar. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads.